The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today graduated with over $200,000 in student loans. That's a huge monthly payment, and he couldn't exactly afford it, so he had to figure out another way to come up with the money every month. He came up with the idea that if he bought rental properties, his tenants could pay the mortgage on the rentals and pay for his student loans. And it's been working out for him great, so I want to hear his story and go over some of the numbers. Let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet Mike Odell from Oklahoma City.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Mike, you've got an incredible story. So you racked up $200,000 in student loans?
Yes, I did.
That is incredible.
I was a registered nurse, did that for years, and decided to further myself. So I went to school to become a certified registered nurse anesthetist. It's a very expensive endeavor a lot of times, and you can't work while you're doing it. It's a 28-month master's degree program. I put about 70 hours a week into practicing anesthesia, studying anesthesia, and writing papers, and I also had a family, so I didn't work, and we had a baby, and I was gone a lot, kind of like a long-haul trucker, so my wife was at home too. So I had to finance a couple of years of life with student loans.
And when you went into school, did you know that it was going to add up that quickly, or did it just kind of sneak up on you?
You know, I was told that we were going to that I was going to be making so much money. And when you're told about the salary once you get out of anesthesia school, it just sounds incredible, and it is good money. But you get this pie in the sky feeling of I'm going to be rich. So
right.
I don't care how much debt it takes me to get into this. I'm just going to go for it. And I actually also had over $100,000 in my 401k that I had scraped up as an RN at 30 years old. And I cashed that in too.
Okay.
So I
wow.
cashed out my retirement and I went in the hole. You know, I went all in to do this.
Wow. Okay. So you get out of school, you've got $200,000 in debt hanging over you. What's the monthly payment on that?
The federal government set my interest rate they set their own interest rate at 0% back then in 2011, but they set mine at 8%. So on a 10-year standard repayment, the payments were about $2,500, and wow. $1,300 of that was interest.
$1,300 was interest?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so you came up with a plan that you weren't going to pay this back out of your salary, because I mean that would obviously be a pretty big chunk out of your paycheck every month. So you got the idea that you were going to buy rental properties and make the payment with your cash flow?
Yeah, I decided to solve my debt problem by going into some more debt.
Right.
At the point, you know, it didn't really matter
yeah,
at that point.
Right.
Got so far underneath. So I always wanted to do this. I had but my mother's good friend was a realtor, and she had a lot of rental properties, and she led me around and showed me some places. And when I was 18 years old, man, I just was chomping at the bit then. So
yeah.
Now I'm finally old enough and I'm making money and I've got great credit. I don't have a net worth, but the banker was able to look past that once
right.
we kind of got things going. So I had the drive for it, and I decided, yeah, let's get some. And looking at the money, the return on investment, the thing for me, I needed the highest return on investment I could get. So I started looking at the really low income part of town. And in Oklahoma City, that's the east side. And that's where you can buy a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house for around $30,000.
Okay. And is it in a really rough neighborhood?
It's a little bumpy.
Okay. Okay.
The first house I bought, once we got the power restored to it, I realized that there were a lot of bullet holes in it.
Okay.
I Googled it after I bought the place and didn't see anything about a horrible crime. Just must have been some regular weeknight. Place had been empty for a while, and unbeknownst to me, the wiring had been stolen out of it. I saw a circuit breaker, and I saw lights and light switches, and so I just assumed that those two things would work once we got the power up, but got to rewire that bad boy.
Now, one of the things when you go to a bank to get financing, one of the things that the bankers are going to look for is your debt to income ratio. And with having those student loans, was it difficult to get approved for more mortgages?
Not really. I started going to real estate investor meetings, local ones. You know, everybody's really approachable in the landlord market that I've ever met. They've been way more helpful than I thought they would be. And I'm the same way. When people get in touch with me, I'm happy to, you know, hey, I know a plumber. I know an electrician. Try doing this. Watch out for that. So I ended up just kind of buddying up with a guy who happened to own 100 houses. And he gave me his banker's phone number. And I called her up and she's like, you know, Steven? And, you know, that was my foot in the door. And...
Okay.
I just went from there.
Did you need just a traditional 20% down payment to get into the loan?
Well, I borrowed money from family to get this started.
Okay.
So I used that to buy a couple of properties, got them fixed, got them rented, and then brought these properties to the bank. Hey, I've got a couple houses. So I used those as collateral.
Okay.
And the banker looked at that. They got an appraisal, and they gave me, I think, a 70% loan to value on them as a commercial loan. I formed an LLC, put them in an LLC. And so they gave me 70% loan to value with a very generous appraisal. And then they just gave me cash.
Okay.
So I could be a cash buyer.
All right, let's take just a little step back here. So you go to your family and you said, listen, I'm in all this debt. I've got this big student loan payment. Can you loan me some money so I can get into some more debt and buy properties? Like, how did that conversation go? Like, did your family think you were crazy? Or
they know I'm crazy, but I'm crazy in a way that I make things happen that most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I get hold of something, I don't let go of it. I had read books. I had been studying the market. I knew what I wanted to do, and I actually didn't ask family first. I was trying to go through a connection that I had through family to get some money out of some people that had some big pockets, and it was my mother just took out a home equity line of credit and gave me the cash for it,
okay.
Which really surprised me. And
yeah.
I took the money with I had a lot of trepidation. There was a lot of stress about taking that money.
Sure.
You know, I knew my mother could afford it if I failed, but oh man, I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah,
so
right.
There was a ton of pressure with that. But
so
that's how I got it started.
Did she give you the money to buy the property in cash, or was it okay? So you bought the property. So you bought a couple of properties in cash with that down payment or with that loan. And then once you had the properties free and clear, then you went to the bank and you took out a mortgage. And then were you able to get all the money back that your mother had lent you?
Pretty close.
Okay. Okay. So then when you got the money back, did you pay your mother off or did you use that to buy more properties?
Bought more houses.
Okay. Awesome. And then how many did you end up with?
I ended up with 6 here in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And I compared it to like a copy of a copy, you know, that loan to value at 70%. It degraded over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of tapped that out after a couple of revolutions.
Okay. Now, So you've got these properties now, and so do you have any of your own money in these properties, or like right now, are they essentially 100% financed?
They're essentially 100% financed. I now have them all under one note.
Okay.
I have six houses under one commercial loan. I think it's for $160,000 for six houses.
That's great.
And so the note payment on that's $1,400 a month, and my rent income per house on average is about $700.
Okay.
So, you know, I got insurance and property taxes, which aren't very high in that part of town, and maintenance and repairs, which are fairly heavy because these are older, worn out houses.
Right. So, yeah. So they're in rougher neighborhoods. They're older houses. So do you spend a lot on maintenance to keep the properties up and running?
I probably put about 15% of my income a year into maintenance.
Okay.
I try and keep them nice, relatively nice.
Okay.
You know, we caulked in all the bullet holes and stuff.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
We'll get into some more details on exactly how Mike was able to make this work. And we'll also find out how he was able to get part of his student loan forgiven. We'll get into that here in just a second. But first, I want to thank our sponsor today. It's Rentler. If you're a do-it-yourself landlord and you're looking for some tools and some help in helping you self-manage your rental properties, you should really check out Rentler. They have everything you could possibly need as a do-it-yourself landlord, from all the forms you need, from leases to online applications. They can do tenant screening for you, and they can also accept online payments, whether the tenant wants to pay through their checking account or if they want to charge the rent on a credit card. Rentler can make all that happen for you. They have a special offer today just for our listeners. If you go to tryrentler.com/all50, you can download a report with the fair housing laws for all 50 states. And it's really important to get familiar with the local laws for your state. So you should definitely go ahead and check that out. Go to tryrentler, that's tryrentler.com/all50 to download that free report. And while you're there, check out Rentler. They really are a great service, and they have some tools that can really help you out as a do-it-yourself landlord. All right, let's get back to the show. So, Mike, tell me how you were able to get rid of some of your student loan debt.
So when you graduate and you've got a bunch of federal loans, they give you 6 months before you enter repayment. And, you know, I thought that my income was going to be higher than it was. It was decent, but taxes take their toll. And having kids and stuff really, really eats into that. So when I called my student loan provider, I said, look, I can't make these payments. And a physician friend of mine, I was like, how do you do your student loans? He's like, dude, I just told them I can't afford it all. And they were like, well, what can you afford? So and he was being kind of nonchalant about it. So that's what I did. I was like, look, you know, I can afford like $500-$600 a month, but this $2,500, that's a lot. And the guy on the other end of the line asked me how much I made, and I told him, and he was like, and you're trying to scoff at me and tell me you can't pay that? You got to pay this. You know, mm-hmm. We got you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, what are my options? And he's like, well, you can go into forbearance. And that was the only option he presented me with, which there's some lawsuits about that now, because that's not true. Forbearance, they will forgive your loan. You can not make payments on your loan for up to 12 months. And interest still accrues. And so 8% interest on about $200,000, that was $1,300 a month. And so he told me that, you know, if you go into forbearance, then it's going to cost you, I don't forget the exact figure, somewhere in the neighborhood of $18,000 in interest. And I said, I don't care. Might as well make it 20. This is so much money. It doesn't even matter. I've got to think of something, and I've got a year to come up with the idea. So put me in forbearance. So they did that. I got the loans off my back for a year, of course, only growing bigger.
Right.
And in the interim, I started buying houses to offset that. And I also discovered that there are income-based repayment options. They take your adjusted gross income, and then they do a calculation based on the poverty line for a family your size. And so they take the poverty level, subtract your adjusted gross income, the remainder of that. They take 10% of that, and that's your disposable income, and that's how much your payment is. So I got the payments reduced to below $600 a month, which actually puts me about $700 a month below the interest that's accruing on these loans.
Okay.
However, the golden lining to that is that I happen to work for a hospital that is state-owned. And so if you have student loans and you have a 403B retirement plan, not a 401K, then you probably qualify, or a government retirement plan like a 457. If that's a benefit of your job, then this is seriously worth looking into. I qualify for public service loan forgiveness, which is where if you make your income-based payments, once you do 120 on-time payments, 10 years worth of payments, then your loans are discharged free of taxes outright at the end of 10 years of payments. So that's what I have kind of put together.
So big picture, so everyone kind of understands how the money's flowing here. So you've got six properties that you're making $700 a month on. That money comes in, you pay your mortgage, you pay your taxes, you pay your insurance, any repairs that might come up, and then whatever is left over is going to making your student loan payments. And so you're not having to actually put in any of your own money. Your tenants are basically paying for your student loans. And then after 10 years of this, the government is going to just forgive whatever is left on your student loans.
Right.
Right.
And actually my tenants are the government, because most of my houses are rented Section 8. So I take money from the Section 8 program, which is a federal program, and I use that to pay the federal government back on my student loans.
That's really incredible.
It's
wow.
Poetry.
Yeah, it is. So now in how many years into this repayment program are you right now?
I am 4 years in.
Okay.
So I have 6 years to go.
Okay. And now after you pay the student loans out of the rent checks, is there any cash flow left over, or is there any other profit, or is this kind of coming out at a break even for you?
Everything goes back into the properties.
Okay.
I'm trying to pay debt down. I've paid off some family loans, and I'm trying to, I don't want to go into any further debt on real estate. So I'm trying to keep a little bit of a cushion and keep my properties maintained, and I don't really take anything for myself out
okay.
of it.
But, you know, it's like, I think that's totally fine. I mean, because you look at the purpose of these houses are to pay your student loans. So, and I think that's working out great for you. So you're going to have a free education when this is all said and done. And then in another 6 years, the loans are going to be gone, and that's going to be $600 a month cash flow that you can do whatever you want with at that point.
Exactly. And it's a free education, major in anesthesia and a minor in real estate.
Right.
You know, making a lot of connections with this, and I'd really like to take it further than it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But where I am is not too bad.
Totally. Yeah. I think you're in a great spot. Now, the other thing that you've done that I think is pretty cool is you've documented everything that you've done as you've set up this whole system to pay off your student loans.
I decided to write a book about it. I wrote a book called Landlord Away Your Student Loan Debt. I wrote it over the course of several months, just the plan that I went through. It's a concise book. You can probably read it in about 4 hours. I didn't try and fill it with lots of fluff to make it 300 pages or anything like that. It's just to the point.
If anyone wants to check it out, you can find it on Amazon, and I'll go ahead and put a link to it on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode171. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time, and thank you for listening. We've got new episodes every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.